Hey everybody, welcome to Pwn Stars. I'm Will.
I'm Josh. Oh wait, no, I'm Ryan.
Josh is not here. and I do, in fact, suck at Call of Duty.
Yeah.
So, today we're going to talk about the needless bitching that people do in regards to video games. There are a lot of things people like to complain about, and we're just going to talk in regards to character representation on multiple fronts. We actually did quite a bit in regards to this, and there are some that, yeah, people could probably complain about.
Oh yeah, big time.
But I really don't think they're as bad as
they make them out to be. As they're saying it and making it out to be, like, just by looking for some of the stuff we have, because, you know, you gotta look for this sort of thing. Some of the representation that people are claiming isn't in games, it's there. You're just obviously not playing the right games, or you're not paying attention.
Or it's not positive.
Or it's not positive, as we found out today.
Yeah, there were a couple categories that there was not much positivity in regards to these characters.
No, not at all.
So, we are going to start with the one that everybody always likes to complain about. Gay people.
Here we go again about the gays. We need to quit this.
Well, part of me wants to say that they have a right, until I thought about all of the homosexual or even transsexual characters that have occurred in video games. Some of them not represented entirely well.
Well, and that we're trying to relate it towards, you know, something that is positive towards the main character, not so much just people in there. Because you can name off a list of games that just have that portrayal in them, including fighting games, which we're not going to get into.
Yes, fighting games we are not touching, because that can span pretty much every single category.
Yep, just like one of the games we did pretty much spammed every single one of these categories.
Actually, yes, one game in particular.
One game in particular did. That wasn't a fighting game.
I mean, I guess it kind of is. You're fighting guns.
Well, I wouldn't say a fighting game. More like it's more of a shooter-esque than a fighting game.
We'll say MOBA.
We might as well go with that.
Yeah, we'll go with MOBA. So, there's a lot of things in regards to sexual preference in regards to video games. Some of these are not exactly good representations, but they are extremely early representations. Mm-hmm. So, it's not necessarily that these people were evil. It's just, that's just how the game went back then.
Yeah.
I mean, I have an entire rant about how I think Mario is a psycho that I can go on later, and some of these are from Mario, so.
Yeah.
That'll be an entire episode. I discussed it with Ryan, and
it makes sense. It's terrible, but it makes sense.
Yes, it's terrible, and I may ruin some people's childhoods, but
everybody needs to hear it.
And this was not a fan theory that I found on the internet. I came up with this entirely on my own because I was really bored one day.
I was going to say, he's got a lot of time at work, so he likes to sit there and think about random stuff.
So, okay, sexual orientation representation in regards to video games. While we were making this list, before we even start, Ryan, did you think this was a horrible depiction?
Not for the most part. So, some of the people that we came on here, of course, we left out a majority of the, like, MMORPGs or choose-your-own-adventure RPGs, like Fallout and Dragon Age and stuff like that, because you can force your character to go either way.
However, there are certain things in regards to, like, representation, like the Kune in Dragon Age.
Yep.
They have no preference at all. It's whoever you love, you love.
Yep. And if they want to be miserable, they could choose who they want to be miserable with.
Exactly. So that's the only representation there.
But for the most part, it wasn't as bad as you would expect.
Okay, so we're going to start off with one of the earliest representations of a transvestite.
Mm-hmm.
Birdo. The actual description of Birdo is male who believes he is a female and prefers to be called Birdetta.
Mm-hmm.
This is actually a very well-known one in regards to all of this occurring. Yes, Birdo is a bad guy, but let's go. Like I said, it could just be Mario's a homicidal maniac.
Yeah, so we're looking at it either way.
Final fight. There is a character named Poison that, depending on which reason, they were either a pre-op or post-op transvestite.
Yep.
Earthbound. There was a gay character in Earthbound. Like, actually, one of the playable characters. Tony.
Of all the games.
Yeah. In 1994, there was a gay character. It wasn't a bad depiction.
No.
It was just he had feelings for his best friend. Streets of Rage 3. Villain, however.
Yeah.
There was a massively flamboyant character named Ash that you ended up having to fight. Chrono Trigger. There was a character named Flea. This was not a playable character. This was, in fact, a enemy.
Mm-hmm.
However, it was very ambiguous at what they were. And in the very, like, one of his lines of dialogue is, male or female, what difference does it make? Power is beautiful, and I've got the power.
Yeah.
And that was supposedly the director saying that, yes, they are, in fact, a transvestite character, which was a cool character, so.
Yeah.
Can't really argue in regards to that. Phantasmagoria 2, a puzzle of flesh. Not the type of puzzle you're probably thinking of, right? This was the first example of a playable non-heterosexual character. 1996. Yeah, it took that wanting to get there, but there really wasn't a whole lot of information you can throw in characters.
Yeah, no.
It was, here, this is what you're doing, just do it. Stupid Mario. Fallout 2 was the very first example of a same-sex marriage in a video game.
Yep.
And that was freaking 1998.
That was
they could accept it then. Why are people having an issue accepting it now?
Right. Well, it's probably a big deal, just not as big as they're making it out to be today.
Final Fantasy VII, the infamous cross-dressing scene. that entire gym. You're looking at me strange, and I keep forgetting that you haven't played Final Fantasy
VII. No, but I know what you're talking about. I've seen it.
It's
iconic, so it's there.
It's probably one of the most iconic scenes next to Aerith's death in that game. And I worked really hard to get chosen as Cloud as the girl.
Yeah, that's what Josh was telling me. Not about you, about him, because he thought it'd be funny.
GTA 4, gay Tony.
Yep, an entire expansion. Granted, you didn't play as Tony, but the entire expansion was you working for Tony and doing what he needed you to do.
Yeah, I mean, and you weren't necessarily... Gay Tony wasn't exactly a super, super bad guy.
Uh-uh. Well, he wasn't a bad guy at all. He just was a terrible nightclub owner.
Well, we are talking Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Persona 2. One of the characters, Carissa June, was, in fact, a homosexual character. Another example of playable character. And, like, there's a whole backstory in regards to it.
Yeah.
Like, they actually decided to elaborate on it. And it wasn't even a feel sorry for, like, this character's past, like most RPGs do. It wasn't a flashback of, oh, this person's messed up. It was just, it's just who they are. It's just an explanation. It's what Persona does.
Yep.
And I'm not saying gay people are messed up. If you take it that way, I am entirely sorry. It's just, in RPGs in general, there is always the sad backstory.
Yep.
They did it so it wasn't people thinking, oh, they're messed up. It was just, this is who they are.
That's how it is.
And this is why, and they accept who they are. You should accept who they are. Final Fantasy IX. There is an entirely genderless race in that game. I think they're called the Q. I'm not entirely sure how to pronounce it. It's Q-U. And they eat random enemies, and that's how the character gets their special attacks.
Oh!
So there's a lot of representation there. That's not bad. No. Like I said, some of the earlier on stuff. Okay, Final Fight, Streets of Rage. Those are some pretty bad examples.
Yeah. But I mean, if you think about it, that's just how they are. Like with Flea, power is power. And I've got the power.
Yes,
he's a bad guy, but like the way he throws it out is, it doesn't matter. I am who I am.
Yeah, it's not like, it wasn't a bad representation.
No.
I mean, there are some bad representations.
Oh, yeah.
There's some bad representations of every type of person in video games.
Yep.
Some of them a little bit more than others. You want to do one of those?
Which one?
Fat people.
Oh.
Okay, so we decided we were going to try to look up characters of a variety of body types. And because this is a very big one that a lot of people like to complain about, that there's no positive characters that are overweight or freaking disabled or, like, missing limbs or... But we're going to look at entirely in regards to weight for body type. We have another section for disabilities.
Yeah, or special needs, if you would say.
Overwatch has Roadhog. You want to argue Roadhog's a big old fat guy?
No, because one of his end screens is zooming in on his chest with it looking like a pig going, laughing and jiggling it like the pig is winking.
And if you don't know anything in regards to Overwatch lore in general, like, he's just depicted as a bad guy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, him and Junkrat are kind of assholes, but other than that...
Yeah, but they basically live in Mad Max.
Yeah.
As crazy as they are, I think they're as well-adjusted as they could be.
Given where their heritage lies, yeah.
You have May, chubby girl.
Everybody was pissed off when she wasn't chubby in the jade outfit that you get for her during the Chinese New Year. Because she wasn't depicted as a big girl in that. She was just depicted as a normal girl. But underneath that Eskimo coat, everybody's like, oh yeah, she's a bigger girl. You know, all the art drawn of her without the coat is her as a bigger girl. If she is, she is. If she's not, she's not. Either way, she's Satan. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, we don't want to give too much praise to Satan here. But yes, May is a heftier girl. I mean, she's not a big
she's
old
not
fat kid. Bitch.
Yeah.
She's just a chubby bitch.
She's not like some of the other females in the game who are twigs.
And that's not me being sexist when I just call her a bitch. I just hate May. Everybody hates May.
Unless you're a main May, and then everybody hates you.
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah.
Zarya.
Bodybuilder. Very intimidating.
Very, very intimidating. And possibly transgender.
Could be.
They have made slight hints towards it. It's why she has a huskier voice, and all these other things, and her her musculature just kind of fits.
Yeah.
But female bodybuilders just...
And you...
They're slightly more disproportionate in regards to... It's really hard to tell.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Well, and that with Blizzard and the Overwatch team in general, you really can't put it past them. I mean, for the longest time, everybody's like, ooh, Tracer's booty, and then boom, she's a lesbian. They threw a curveball right out of the left field. You're just like, oh, shit. So, I mean... I wouldn't put it past the Overwatch team to make her.
That was
post-op.
That was a big happy day for people who make Overwatch quote fan art end quote.
Yeah,
it gave them more reason to do stuff.
Yeah,
Torbjorn.
Dwarfism.
Well, not just dwarfism. He's a hefty dude.
He's a big dude.
And
he's not Swedish.
As much as I hate Torbjorn,
he's not as big of a Satan though.
Yeah, he's not as bad as Satan.
He's been toned down,
but. He is a heftier character. He's not a bad person.
No.
He's not depicted in a horrible light. It's just the players make him depicted as a horrible light. You can hate the character, or you can hate the people that play the character.
The same thing goes with May. I don't hate May, because I think her backstory and who she is cool. But when it comes to Torbjorn, they make you hate Torbjorn by the way he's depicted in the game.
Yeah, I mean, he is a hero.
Yep.
And May is... She was an environmentalist that was working on trying to
save
the world.
Yep.
You can't hate these people.
No.
You just hate the way that everybody plays them. Yeah. Like May putting up an ice wall and leaving you stranded to take an ult to the face.
Or you pressing your ult and then all of a sudden out of nowhere, your D.Va mech is flying forward and a May wall stops and it falls off a cliff. You know.
Ellie, Borderlands.
Ellie, that's big woman.
She's a big woman.
But she is probably one of the best characters in that game that's as an NPC.
Her, Tiny Tina,
mm-hmm.
which is a representation of kids, a very horrible representation of kids, blows everything up. And Scooter can fall under mentally handicapped.
Yeah, he probably could. Or incestuous, if anything.
Yeah, it's...
Scooter's a pretty bad representation of everything.
Well, everything in Borderlands, for the most part, is a bad representation. But, yet again, you're in a Mad Max environment.
Yeah, the same thing.
So it's a little bit more apocalyptic.
Mm-hmm.
The Heavy from Team Fortress 2.
He's a big dude.
Big and dumb.
Yes. Because he laughs like, when you're firing his gun repeatedly, his minigun.
Now, that's it.
Yeah.
That's literally what we found.
And a majority of the characters that we talked about came from Borderlands.
Not Borderlands, Overwatch.
That's what I meant. So, you take a look at it, and if you even so much as just search, let's say like fat people in video games. The list I found, it was 50 of the most iconic big people in video games. Maybe
like 48 of them were evil.
48 of them were bad guys.
Yeah, it's fat people were depicted as evil.
Yeah, gluttony, probably. They probably play off the seven deadly sins when it comes to that.
Let's go back to Final Fantasy VII and the Cross-Dressing King. The Don,
yeah. It's just...
Or the CEO, the president of Shinra.
Yeah.
He's a big old fat guy. Or... Let's look at other games. King Hippo.
Yep. Dead Rising 3, one of the people you fight is literally a crazed person on a rascal inside of a buffet area on the Vegas Strip of what they have.
She's fueling up before she goes to the Grand Canyon on a hover round.
Right. So they're just depicted as bad people.
Boomers.
Boomers, big old fat nasty people who go boom.
Yeah, fat people get a bad rap.
Yes.
And I'll accept people complaining about that.
That's 100% justifiable.
After legitimately looking for research, because I thought, okay, May, Roadhog, or Ellie, which I had to have Ryan look up her name. I remembered her. She was a very iconic character. But they were good people.
Yeah.
But that was all I could come up with. So I'm like, there has to be more. After searching,
we couldn't find any.
Yeah, after literally researching it, fat people are always bad guys.
They're
always
considered bad people.
And it's not just in video games. I mean, that's TV in general.
Yeah.
For the most part, it's either they're fat and dumb, fat and gay, or fat and evil. And most likely it's the third option.
Well, the way TV's progression and movies are progressed nowadays, it's usually the second option.
Historical.
But like Modern Family, fat and gay.
Let's look at anything that goes back in time or in a fantasy section.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're looking at mostly evil.
Yeah.
But then again, lords back...
They had the money to be big because they had the money for food, and that was a sign of power to be a bigger person.
And, well, they were also the tax collectors, so.
Yep.
Well, not the tax collector, but they got the taxes.
They got the money, yeah.
So I can kind of understand why, but the problem is most fantasy games, that's all you get.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do the other section where people can truly complain?
Yeah.
Okay. Special needs and disabled characters. This is a really short list.
It was. We only could think of a couple, and it's not
a couple famous ones.
Yeah,
I mean,
and
there
we're
were
not
a couple
looking
other ones. But.
Like, I mean, we had creepy Uncle Lester from GTA. which he's not really a creep. He's not your creepy uncle, but he describes himself as that. But he was not depicted.
Oh, yeah, that's a great representation. He called himself
creepy Uncle Lester. Yeah. And it's not that he was a bad person. It's just he did bad things. So it wasn't even a good representation of, well, let's just say a cripple, because he was always walking around either with a cane or he was in a wheelchair.
You have, yet again, Overwatch. You have Junkrat and Symmetra. Junkrat is disabled.
One-legged.
And Symmetra she's autistic.
Mm-hmm.
Which, great representation. Never, ever going to argue that one.
No, Blizzard did really good with their game.
Other than that, we were looking at... Wait, if you decided to ever Google this, you'll find the top six characters, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Junkrat and Symmetra didn't even make the list, but they went for people in wheelchairs. Joker in Mass Effect. That's
Joker is one of the most iconic special needs person on the list there, because, I mean, he sacrificed himself by getting out of his chair to save you, which, granted, it didn't really need sacrificing, but he did what he thought he had to do. And for a guy, what did he have?
Basically, his bones were glass.
Yeah, so just moving for him was bad. So that's what made him such an iconic character as a cripple, we'll say, because he couldn't move.
He did not let his disability affect him.
No, he was one of the best pilots the Normandy ever had.
Well, he was the best pilot the Normandy ever had.
Because it only had one.
He was one of the best pilots the universe had ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason he wanted that job was because he didn't have to move.
He didn't have to move, and he wanted to prove that even though he can't use his legs, he's still good at what he does. He
can still excel at something.
Mm-hmm.
Joker is probably the greatest representation of somebody with special needs in video games.
He's got to be.
And the best part is so your ship gets invaded. He gets out of his chair.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much breaks every bone in his body, just trying to make sure everybody escapes.
Yep.
And, I mean, coming from a complete and utter smartass to trying to save everybody's life, I'm sorry, but that was, like, I was cheering for Joker the whole time during that little tiny scene.
And that just, but with that as well, I mean, they did a good choice for the voice actor, too. I think Seth Green nailed that. It's not something you would expect to come out of the creator of Robot Chicken.
Yeah.
Or Chris from Family Guy. But I feel like he did it right as Joker was maturing throughout the games. So was he, playing the character that is. So he was 100% my favorite special needs person in a video game.
Now, the issue in regards to special needs and disabled characters in video games is there's your depiction.
Yeah.
I mean, you have some evil people that are floating around on evil on their chairs doing evil drastic deeds, but...
I mean, you can think of some fat evil people that are doing that, like Dr. Robotnik.
Yeah. Let's not even get started.
Let's not get started with Robotnik, but at least he's got a PhD.
But fat people at least get more representation, even if it is bad.
Yeah.
Just in that general, it's just never there.
Yeah.
I mean, and it sucks. I can understand it's a lot more difficult in regards to trying to make a game like that. Like, it would be really hard to play a first-person shooter with a character in a wheelchair the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Or trying to not offend people in regards to mentally handicapped.
There was a game where you did converse with a character that you played as in a former game, but now he's in a wheelchair. But that's because he's old.
Yeah.
James Woods from Call of Duty. Black Ops, Black Ops 2. Because he was in the Vietnam War, and then this new war that's going on, you talk to him. But the best part about him is he was just old, and then at the end, if you beat the game, you got to see him stand out of his chair, and he goes, oh, I was just fucking faking that, I don't need it, and then walks on stage with Avenged Sevenfold. I mean, stuff like that, you don't see special needs people. You'll see funny moments like that, but the fact that...
I think it's mostly they don't want to offend people.
And that's a sad thing to come into, because if you're going to get offended by someone who's handicapped or special needs...
I think they're worried about taking it too far.
Yeah. Go ask Overwatch. Go ask Blizzard. Because they obviously know what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, Symmetra's a prime example.
And Sir Hammerlock. He had one. He was missing it all.
Yeah, I forgot about Sir Hammerlock because he put him on the other list right at the end.
Yep. You could even say him. One arm. He lost it to a skag.
Anybody that ever complains in regards to the age of characters, like, I've heard people complain that there's not... that most characters are young and strapping. We have proof otherwise, because these are some of the biggest badasses in video games.
And they're old.
Like, Solid Snake.
Oh, 100%. Just because he had a rapid growth, he was still old. His body still functioned
physically,
like
he's a senior citizen.
Yeah, he functioned like a senior citizen, but he was a badass.
And Revolver Ocelot.
Yep, they were both badasses.
Yes, Revolver Ocelot is depicted as a bad guy in several games, but... if you knew the lore and everything, he's not really a bad guy. Mm-mm. I mean...
he is, but he's doing what he was trained. Yeah.
He's a justified bad guy. Sam Fisher from Splinter Cell is, I think he's well in his 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a complete and utter badass.
Oh, yeah. I played the shit out of Blacklist. That was, I think that was the solo one.
I can't remember.
Well, I mean, that was one of the first Splinter Cells I actually played was that one. So I started pretty late in the series, but you're trying to save your daughter, and you're just going around all these places, just capping people like it's somebody's business, doing parkour, running around, and who's going to stop him? He was a badass.
Joel.
Last of Us. Yep. At first I was like, what? And then, you know, he gets old when you actually get to start playing as him.
Yeah. I mean, he is. I'm pretty sure he could get a senior citizen discount.
Yeah, he'd get AARP.
And he is one of the most determined people. And that's the best depiction
mm-hmm.
that I can give in regards to ageism in video games. That older people are always shown as more determined.
Yeah.
In regards to what's going on. Like, the younger characters, they're always like reluctant heroes.
Reluctant or whining about something.
Yep. And the older people are just like, I gotta get this done. Because they don't have much time left.
Mm-hmm. If I'm not going to get it done, this kid sure isn't, because he's bitching about having to go with me to do it.
Gordon Freeman.
The history teacher.
Yep, dude looks like a history teacher. Saves the world. Multiple times. And that's another one of, they don't have to be young, strapping, and absolutely gorgeous. He looks like, well, if anybody's ever seen Breaking Bad.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
What's the actor's name?
Bryan Cranston.
Yes, he looks like Bryan Cranston. And if they ever make a Half-Life movie, they better choose Bryan Cranston. Just like if they ever make an Uncharted movie, it has to be Nathan Fillion.
Yep.
Who, Drake's getting up in age, but if we were going to go in regards to older characters.
Appearing in games that were young and then got old.
What was the old guy's name?
In which one?
In Uncharted. His like, Sully. Partner.
Sully.
Sully was awesome.
Yes.
I mean, that's another example of somebody that's not letting their badass. Age hold them
yep.
back.
Mm-hmm.
Master Chief is still.
He's getting up there.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not even, like, just in the later games. I mean, I think he was 40-something by the time
the first way his year. Genetics went, he was in his 40s.
Yeah, because he wasn't the modification to the Spartan soldiers actually, rapidized their aging?
It rapids, and then it slows it down. It gets them to fighting age, and then it slows their aging down so they can last longer in battle.
Orin, Final Fantasy X.
Yeah.
Technically, his age is listed at 35, but he is not to depict. He's not depicted as a younger guy.
No, he's an older dude in depiction.
And if you want to go on that theory, Jack.
Yeah, yeah.
Jack was, I wouldn't necessarily say super old, but...
He's a mature man.
Yeah, he's a... I mean, it's Titus. It's Titus's dad.
Yeah.
I hate it. Like, he's Titus.
No, he like Randy said, he does not get the right to be called his actual name. It's fucking Titus.
Did I bring up John Marston?
No, not... You did not.
I'm jumping on this particular list.
Yes, because there's some good ones and there's some, you know, some that are better than others. But John Marston, he was an older gentleman just trying to get the Federals off of his back so him and his family can live their life the way he wanted them to.
Yeah, John Marston was the older, I would say probably second biggest badass on this list.
Yeah.
I would say Solid Snake's number one.
Oh, yeah.
In regards to old people. But John Marston, super... If Clint Eastwood was in a video game...
John Marston would be Clint Eastwood.
And I'm talking, like, older Western. Clint Eastwood, not now.
Yeah.
Not crazy Clint Eastwood.
Not Soldier 76 Clint Eastwood.
Yes. There we go. We'll go to Overwatch. Overwatch is full of old people.
Because...
Soldier 76, Reaper, Mercy, Torbjorn, Ana, Reinhardt.
Yeah.
And
they have a lot of the old founding members back into it.
I'm not counting Winston, because...
He's a genetically modified gorilla.
Yes.
I mean, granted, some of the people on the list were genetically modified, and not just the age, but like in all together, even though it is more prominent in there. But Solid Snake was an accelerated growth human. Master Chief was an accelerated growth, let's just say human, because, you know, UNSC. So they were accelerating growth, but Winston was a gorilla that was accelerated in what he had.
Yeah, we can't really throw in the talking gorilla in regards to this whole representation.
Did somebody say peanut butter?
Last of Us would be Bill from Left 4 Dead.
Yep.
Left 4 Dead kind of falls under a lot of these. Because there's a black guy, a Mexican girl, an old badass, and then a biker dude.
Well, not just that Left 4 Dead, but you could do Left 4 Dead and Left 4 Dead 2 in that aspect, because they have a special needs person.
Video?
Yeah. Ellis.
I didn't really
That was a joke. That was a joke.
Let's say, I didn't really pay attention when I was playing Left 4 Dead 2. But hearing Bill say Pills here,
yeah.
You can always tell that he was just the older gentleman.
And yep.
The problem with that is that there's not a whole lot of actual story behind him. You know, that's just the way
Left 4 Dead was. He was a Vietnam vet who got caught in the wrong situation, but he was good at what he did.
Yeah, I mean, he was surviving hordes of zombies.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give it to him. The last one we have, I think. Let me check my list. Nope, there are a couple more. Let's go to, well, this one's going to be an hour. Oh, well. racial representation.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people say that there aren't a whole lot of races being depicted. And that's partially true. We will say that Middle Eastern characters are not exactly represented well, just like they are not represented well in cinema.
Yep.
However, you cannot complain about black people in video games. You cannot complain about Hispanic people in video games.
No. I mean, after looking at this, we kind of had a brain fart at first, like, what is this? And so I can kind of get where people are coming from, that there's not enough racial representation, because honestly, just trying to think about it, there was a brain fart. And then you started naming off characters, and I was like, oh yeah.
But you can't say it's whitewashed.
No, not at all.
That's the big thing that they say. And like, no. No, especially considering half the games come from Japan. You cannot complain in regards to whitewashing.
Really, really.
Like, okay, there are certain games where whitewashing does occur, but it does in fact fit the scenario. Let's look at Fallout 4.
Yeah.
Not 4. 5, right? Is 5 the one coming out? Yes, 5. It's in the southern United States.
Yes.
There's going to be some whitewashing in that game.
One that's coming out or one that's out?
That's coming out. Okay. Because 4 was Pagan Min.
You're... Okay.
3 was Voss, right?
You said Fallout, not Far Cry.
Oh, sorry, Far Cry. That's why I screwed it up. So, Far Cry 5 is in the southern United States.
Yeah, there's going to be hella whitewash there.
There's going to be hella whitewashing there. But if you're going to make a complaint in regards to that, then you need to complain that there's not white people in Yakuza.
Yeah, like... What were you expecting was going to happen with a game called Yakuza? You're going to play as a white protagonist? Sleeping Dogs. You're going to play that? You're going to complain that you weren't playing as a white protagonist?
Well, there were some white people in Sleeping Dogs, which were not portrayed very well.
No.
But that was fine.
Yeah. It comes down to...
Makes sense. You have to take environment in.
Yes. If the game makes sense to have a different race, it will have it. If it doesn't, we'll use Far Cry 5, for example. There's probably going to be black people in Far Cry 5. There's probably going to be other races. But it's probably not going to be depicted well because they're one stone away from the Ku Klux Klan in the game.
Yeah. So, you can't always complain that stuff is being whitewashed. Because there are some circumstances you need to take into account. Yes, there are some games that are in fact whitewashed, and I will fully agree with that.
Oh, yeah.
But there are plenty of games where it's not. And that's where we're going to go. Gears of War.
Gears of War.
I mean, Gears of War has everything.
Yep.
I mean, you have... The German, Baird.
Baird.
Blonde hair, blue eyes.
Yep.
You have the Marcus Fenix, you know, the standard American.
Mm-hmm.
You have Dominic Santiago.
Obviously, black.
Coltrane? Well, no, Dominic was...
It was a joke.
Oh, okay.
Relax. It was a joke.
I was about to say, wait
Dominic
a second.
Santiago, that is not a African-American name.
Hispanic representation. you have Coltrane.
You even had Hawaiian. I can't remember his name. And not because of dope, but because he killed himself. What was his name? Oh, man.
Carmine?
We'll go back. He does blow his head off. We'll come back to that guy later. I'll figure it out. But there was even a Hawaiian guy.
And then there was a black girl in there, right? Not Anya, the other girl.
I know who you're talking about. I can't remember her name either.
It's not that she wasn't a...
They're just not big... lead roles like you're going to find with Cole, Baird, yes. Dom, Carmine even.
I mean, the game followed them around.
Hell, it even had Asian. It had Kim. Lieutenant Kim.
Oh, yeah.
Of course he died, but Lieutenant Kim.
So, Raban, one of the most well-loved characters for Final Fantasy XIV is the biggest, blackest man you will ever see.
Yes, he stands like 7 feet tall. I had to stand... My character, if you put it in perspective, is around 6 foot tall. I had to stand on a table that stood about 3 feet off the ground to meet him at eye level.
I jumped up on the table and I was still staring at his crotch.
Yeah, he is a huge black man.
And, like, he is one of the most well-loved characters in the game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there are people that hate him simply because of glitching issues where he was stopping quests from continuing.
Yep.
But he's also one of the main focuses in the game.
Yeah.
And this is a game where you could accuse there to be whitewashing, because all of the humans, they all look white. It doesn't matter what color skin you have, they have white structures,
yes. Like, I mean, you can modify them in certain ways, but not to the extent of
not
making...
Not by much.
That's what I'm saying. Not to making them to the extent of looking like your average African-American or Hispanic or...
You look like you're putting on blackface.
You look really racist if you go as a black human. And I'm not saying that...
And nobody's going to think you are for having done that.
No.
That's just how it kind of looks.
Yeah.
I mean, there is a samurai in Stormblood that is a huge white dude.
Yeah. Gosetsu.
The trainer for the samurais.
He looks like your typical white guy. Like an old white dude.
The ninja lady looks decently Asian compared
to... She looks
to
foreign.
The race structure for that particular race.
Yes.
What's that race again? I can't remember.
Aura or something like that?
Yeah.
Aura or something. So A-U-R-A.
But, so if I have actually, the whole reason why I decided to do this was because there were people that was complaining that Final Fantasy XIV was whitewashed. I'm like, how are you going to say that this is whitewashed? I mean, it is made by Square Enix. We are playing literally the exact same game that the Japanese player base that's had it longer than us.
Mm-hmm.
Is playing.
Yep.
If Japan makes this game and they're just like, hey, it fits, you cannot claim it's whitewashed. That's like...
All they did was change the dialogue.
Let's step away from games for a second. Let's look at Ghost in the Shell, for example. Like, everybody was complaining that that was whitewashed.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, they went around Japan asking people what they thought. And they thought it was awesome that they got Scarlett Johansson to play her.
Yeah. I mean, Scarlett Johansson is Bomb Diggity, though. So that's right. I went there. That's how I called her Bomb Diggity.
The whole thing in regards to that was, it's a well-known actress, then they want Ghost in the Shell to succeed over here because it's part, it's a big staple of their media representation.
Mm-hmm.
So they want it to succeed. They didn't look as, oh, why didn't they cast an Asian American? There was, oh, this is going to make money.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just with Ghost in the Shell. I mean, there's terrible, terrible things going around with Hollywood. Like, we'll go to cinema instead of video games. Like you said, there's a stigma around Hollywood that they will not cast the fitting characters for what they need. So there's, you know, Asian characters in video games or in movies that they will cast as a white person as the role instead of an Asian or, you know, Indian, African American, stuff like that. Most of the time that you see stuff like that, their race is specifically designed if it's based off a book. I'm going to use one of the world's worst movies in the world, Aragon.
Okay.
The only reason I'm going to use it is because one of my friends didn't understand what ebony meant when they were talking about, because they talked about one of the main leaders of the resistance. Mm-hmm. He is depicted as a tall African or ebony male. He didn't know that ebony was black. So I had to explain to him that in the color spectrum, ebony means black.
Yeah.
So if they flat out describe a character as this, then most of the time they will try their hardest to do it. But in Ghost of the Shell, it doesn't say, oh, that she is an American Asian.
Yeah.
It just says it's this person.
Yeah, it's, yes, there is some whitewashing in cinema. I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. That's just the most recent example I can come up with.
Oh, yeah.
Where it was just blown out of proportion.
Oh, yeah. And it's going to continue to happen. Dragon Ball Evolution.
Well, let's... Okay. We should never speak about that movie.
Only reason I bring it up is Goku was white as fuck.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, let's get back to games. Yet again, Overwatch. Genji, Hanzo, Sombra, Symmetra.
Doomfist. Lucio.
Lucio, Reaper.
Yep, all of them different races.
You have Barret and Yuffie from Final Fantasy.
Yep.
You have the Albed from Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
They were everything.
Yeah. You can't give Final Fantasy, or Square Enix, or Square Soft at the time.
For most of them. Notice the Square was probably the least issue on any of these lists.
Yeah, because they always depict a certain race. Whether it's African American, whether it's Indian, whether it's, you know, Korean, we'll just say Asian instead of specifying them.
It's not that they're depicted as evil or only good, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, you're more likely to find bad white people, bad rich white people in a Square Enix game. Yeah.
That's got nothing to do with racism, that's just what it is.
Yeah, I don't really care. It's, do I have a good reason?
Yeah. Can I kill them for a reason why?
Yep. Carlos and Sheva from Resident Evil.
Yep.
You have Hispanic and African. Not even African American. African.
Well, I mean, Josh Stone. He was an African American BSAA commander. He's a protagonist with Jill. When you download the DLC pack, that's what you get. You get to play as Josh Stone or Jill Valentine. And he was an African American.
One of the best characters in regards to video games, Tyson Rios from Army of Two. Very great game that not many people got a chance to play. It didn't do horribly well.
Unfortunately.
But Tyson Rios is a Hispanic badass.
Yeah.
And he's not even, there's no stereotyping on any of these, by the way.
No.
That was one thing that we tried to do, is we tried to not have stereotyping. Okay, there's probably some stereotyping with Barret.
Yeah.
But Barret had a really hard life, so he lived in a horrible slum. So, yeah, he sounded a little ghetto.
Yeah.
They should have done more with everybody else that lived there.
Other than just him.
Other than just him. But...
it's what, you get what you get.
Yeah, that's the American translation. They kind of dropped the ball on that one.
Mm-hmm.
James Vega from Mass Effect, yet again.
Vega. Mm-hmm.
Another badass Hispanic who can also fall under the homosexual guideline because they went a little bit far.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. They didn't hint. Like, once you got to a certain point, it got really bad.
Okay, I never wanted to romance Freddie Prinze Jr., so I didn't.
The only thing I know, the only thing I know that is because of YouTube videos.
Okay.
Because I just didn't like it. He was a bragger. That's the only reason I didn't like him.
I liked having him in my team because he was a heavy, he was a soldier, and I was a biotic. So it was nice having a soldier in my party. But he was a Hispanic, even though he was played by Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yeah. You can't give crap voice actors.
No.
Because, well, it's their job to change their voice.
Well, and if we look at that aspect, there's a character in Saints Row 3, Angel de la Muerte, who was a Mexican wrestler.
Yeah,
voiced by Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, they did the whole luchador thing, but they didn't use a mask or anything. He was very focused on the luchador thing with no mask.
Yeah.
And yes, it was Hulk Hogan.
It was Hulk freaking Hogan.
That's actually why we didn't put that on the list.
I just wanted to bring him up for that sole fact that you brought up voice characters. A Hispanic was played by Hulk Hogan.
Captain Anderson. Not a playable character.
Certifiable badass.
The most influential character in the Mass Effect series that was not part of your crew.
Yep. And I mean, if you think about it, he kind of was. He wasn't captain of your ship. But he was a control of your ship.
Yeah, I mean, he was basically your commanding officer.
Yep.
And he was one of the most respected people.
Yes.
In the universe.
Even the council respected Anderson.
He was basically the most respected human.
Yep.
Aside from Shepard.
Of course. Well, he saved their lives a billion times.
Well, he was also supposed to be the original Spectre.
That's right.
But he got screwed over by a Turian, so it wasn't his fault that he wasn't.
Right.
It wasn't his fault he wasn't a Spectre. We have Everett and Clementine.
Yep.
I'm sorry, that entire game follows two African-American
people.
Mm-hmm. Adult and child.
Yeah, granted, sad as hell at the end, but...
Franklin, Grand Theft Auto 5.
So, I brought up Franklin and said he was the first protagonist in a GTA game. I completely forgot about CJ. CJ, I think, was the most memorable because even in San Andreas, you could see posters with CJ on them. Carl Johnson, because he made a record company with Mad Dog, and that's where it goes from there. But with the art capture today of mocap, I would say that Franklin would be a more prominent African-American in this sense because it was the guy who played CJ... mocap CJ. So, or not CJ, Franklin. So the two were one and the same. That's why I thought Franklin deserved a better place on this list than CJ.
And I really like Franklin. Mm-hmm. Of the three characters in Grand Theft Auto, he is my favorite because he is the most realistic.
Yeah. One's a guy who used to rob banks and the other's a certifiable psycho.
Yeah. Franklin's your down to earth one.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't really say that there is that every game is whitewashed.
No.
Because we just gave a lot of examples where you have very prominent characters. Yes, Chris Redfield kind of overshadowed Shadow.
Oh, of course. That's
because Chris Redfield was an established character. Only reason.
I was going to say, and it's Chris Redfield for Pete's sake. Other than just established character, everybody likes Chris Redfield.
Now we're going to go to the biggie. Because this is the most complained about thing there is. That there are no female leads that are strong, independent women.
False.
Our very first list on here is Overwatch. We're not even going to bother going into the names.
Mm-mm. You know who they are. If you listen to Tuning Japanese, I think is what it is,
yes.
Right? With Josh?
Yes, Josh.
You know who they are.
Yes. Mm-hmm. If you have ever listened to Tuning Japanese, you know about Overwatch.
Just like you know about Skyrim if you listen to ours.
Bayonetta. Okay, I put Bayonetta on this list. Yes, a lot of people have been really pissed off about Bayonetta. Her clothes are...
Or her hair.
Yes. But this was also created by a female creator.
Mm-hmm.
And she is a certifiable badass, and we're not going to argue in regards to that.
Yeah.
If this was just a bunch of random dudes that created this character, yeah, I wouldn't have thrown her on the list.
But it was a female who created Bayonetta.
Yes.
So she deserves it.
Jane Shepard.
Much better than Male Shepard.
Yes. Much better than John Shepard. The advantage... I don't want to say... Normally, I wouldn't do this because you can choose male or female in Mass Effect.
Mm-hmm.
But Jane Shepard just did... was so much more influential than if you're playing as John.
I would go with Mass Effect 3 in this aspect as Jane Shepard because the first two installments were with the Jane Shepard. They didn't really do much with it, but when they went to Mass Effect 3 and they threw in Jane Shepard...
There was a lot different between Jane and John.
There was... Because at that point, it's either the character who voiced John just didn't care anymore.
He just gave up on tones.
Or it's just he couldn't get the right tone out. But if you played the female character, she actually had tones in her voice. She actually had worry. She actually had sympathy. She actually had emotion. That's why I feel like Mass Effect 3, specifically Jane Shepard, would be the strong, powerful female lead.
Let's go to one that is not a choosable. Lara Croft.
Lara Croft.
And I'm not talking Madonna boob Lara Croft.
With her waiter following her around on her mansion.
I'm talking about the remade Lara Croft. And I'm sorry. She actually 100% deserves to be considered a strong female lead.
Look at the two games she's in. I mean, granted, they used a supermodel as the body and a different actress for the voice, but she's a badass. Just playing that game, she almost gets raped. She gets impaled 1,000 times. She makes it through.
She jumps across a mountain.
Yeah.
It's the next one was a little bit varying, but hear me out. Peach. Princess Peach.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, she gets kidnapped a lot. I say, quote, kidnapped, end quote, because I have theories in regards to this, but Peach, in regards to later on in the Mario franchise, is a complete and utter badass.
Oh, yeah.
Same with Zelda.
Yeah. I mean, we could just look at Super Mario Bros. Or Super Smash. They're probably the best characters in the game. A lot of people play as them.
Yeah, and I mean, awesome. If you want to look at Ocarina of Time, Sheik.
Sheik.
Sheik was, yep, Zelda.
Yep.
And Sheik was scary.
Sheik was very scary.
And it wasn't, like, scary intimidating. It was, why am I playing as Link when Sheik is in the game?
You're right.
Not to mention, she also carries one of the Triforce.
That's true, yeah.
So, where are we? Samus?
Yeah, that, I was kind of ashamed of myself for thinking of that as we got about, you know, halfway through our list of people.
Well, we went through that. This list, we didn't have to look up very quickly.
No, we just threw it.
We did at the end.
But, like, Samus, I immediately thought of her because she was pretty much the first female...
First female lead.
Yeah.
That it was... It wasn't a little... It wasn't made as a girly game.
No.
It was just made as a game.
And I'm glad they did what they did with the unveiling her as a female at the end. Because people who would play
it... could have done without putting her in a bikini.
That is true. But the best part about it is...
the best way to show it.
And people were like, oh yeah, Samus is awesome. This is an awesome shooter. This is amazing. And then you find out she's a girl and you're like, oh, I wonder if she could turn into a ball. Like, come on.
Can I break the explicit at the moment?
I don't care.
Samus, Auto Cunnilingus, champions of the world. Faith Connor, Mirror's Edge.
Never played it, seen multiple people play it, and I agree.
She's literally all you play.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a, oh, you switch between these characters. It was...
You're doing parkour as a motherfucker with this woman.
Yeah, like, this was the epitome of, this is parkour done right. We're not talking like Assassin's Creed parkour.
Yeah.
Or Dying Light parkour.
Parkour.
We're talking like that was the entire focus of this game. Is she's running along skyscrapers without any fear.
Yeah.
While people are shooting at her. Lightning and Fang. Not Vanille.
Not Vanille.
Although Fang and Vanille could have fallen under the non-heterosexual.
Yeah.
Which I'm not entirely sure if that's ever been verified or if it's just fan theory.
Probably just fan theory. But I thought of Lightning immediately because I loved Lightning Returns. I didn't like 13. I didn't like 13-2 or whatever the hell it was.
13 was okay. 13-2 was meh.
I liked Lightning Returns.
Was amazing.
Lightning Returns was one of the very few Final Fantasy games that I picked up and could not stop playing.
And most people who have an issue with Lightning, literally their issue is she's a bitch.
Yeah.
It's like, no.
But she's a strong, independent person.
Mm-hmm. She needs to be. She needs to be that strong, independent woman. And the evolution of Lightning over the course of the games is for her to actually try to rely on other people because she's not on her own anymore.
Yeah.
It's not just her protecting her sister.
No, it's her protecting her.
And then it's her protecting the world.
Yep.
Anya Stroud. Gears of War. We brought her up earlier.
The reason I said Anya Strad is because, one, she was a higher rank than Marcus Fenix inside the entire war. She did end up marrying Marcus because they had a thing going on. But throughout the war, she was one of the most promised lieutenants that they had.
Yeah.
And so, without Anya, there's no saying what could have happened in the Gears of War franchise, because she was the reason that Marcus and his crew got out of 90% of their situation.
Yeah, she was not the soft-spoken, sensitive type. I mean, she could be.
Yeah.
Like, when Dom kills himself, she became very sensitive because she knew what Marcus was going through.
Yeah, that was his best friend.
And that wasn't her being a sensitive woman. That was her being our brother in arms just died.
Being a
the
friend.
One that's going to be affected the most, she's trying to be there for them.
Mm-hmm.
That's just sensible.
Yeah, and she was awesome at it.
Aya Bree from Parasite Eve. She's the protagonist of both freaking games. Well, all three.
All three.
Third Birthday. I keep forgetting the Third Birthday was a Parasite Eve game, because it's not Parasite Eve the Third Birthday. It's just Third Birthday. But she is an insanely strong-willed female lead. And she defies orders in Third Birthday. She pretty much just puts her life on the line for everything.
Yep.
And just an absolutely amazing character. This was the one that we were really ashamed that we forgot to put on the list. Cortana. I'll let you take this one.
Cortana, not because she was a protagonist by any means, because she was just a support character, but...
She was the support
character. She was the support character. She was inside the main character's head 90% of the game so far. Granted, she goes fucking psycho and takes over a ancient race and then starts trying to kill people, but that's because she had a life expectancy. But all in all, she is probably one of the most powerful females that you could see in a game. She got Master Chief out of all the situations. She helped him along on his journey, and she was the reason he is as lucky as he is.
Or, if you want to go even further, the doctor that Cortana, her memories...
Halsey.
Dr. Halsey. So, the big thing in regards to Dr. Halsey is when AIs are created, there's like only a 7% chance of survival for the initial host, the one that their consciousness is copied. And she survived, and even though all of this was going on, she was still there for John. Mm-hmm. She was still reluctant to shut down Cortana,
mm-hmm.
despite everything that was going on. And she became, when Cortana started to go cuckoo pants,
yep.
she was there trying to act as the motherly figure for John, because she took John away from his family when he was a little kid.
Yep.
She's kind of been that motherly figure the whole time. But
that's
why
they call her mother.
She is still that super strong-willed woman.
Yeah, every Spartan up until Spartan 4... they were cybernetic mutations, essentially. They were derived from a host and brought in.
And there was no argument John was her favorite.
Yeah, and Halsey was their mother until the Spartan 4 program, when they could just enhance you. But, I mean,
she made sure that the experiments didn't go too far, that harm wasn't coming to the children.
Yeah.
She was, like, the crazy doctor in Bioshock.
Yes.
I can't remember her name.
I don't remember it either.
But she was basically creating... Well, some people consider the Spartans monsters because of their abilities. Like, you can tell by some of the soldiers that a lot of them had a lot of respect for Master Chief, but some of them were just flat out terrified, just knowing that Chief was coming.
He was a 7-foot monster, yeah. If you read any of the books, which were given explicit rights from Bungie, Master Chief was the bona fide badass in all the books, because he was the only one that can take down elites. What you see in the video game where Marines can take down elites and stuff like that, that's, if you go by book lore, that's not an actual depiction of what can happen.
He wasn't the only one. The very first time that they ran into an elite, and we're referring to the ones that have the giant mounted arm cannon.
Yep.
One of the Spartans actually got their arm blasted off and still took it out. That was the very first representation. And there was a team of Spartans.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever get a chance, if you really like video games, even if you don't like Halo, those books are fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Reads.
They are probably one of the better crossovers between literature and a video game.
Oh, yeah.
And because I'm not a big fan of Halo. I mean, I'll play it. I think it's interesting. But just having read the books...
makes it even better.
Actually, it makes it worse for me. It
makes the game worse, but the saga.
Yeah, you feel that that presence of what was going on in the previous book, so you know you're a complete utter badass. It's not, they've just made this overpowered character. You know why.
Yep.
You know everything that's happened.
It goes into detail.
The problem is that because I've read the books, the games lack a lot of story.
Yes. Insanely lack a lot of story.
Okay, next on the list. Claire and Jill.
Claire and Jill?
Resident Evil. Yes, Sheva's still on the list.
Yeah, Sheva's still on the list, but...
But Claire... But,
prominent female leads.
I mean, Jill Valentine is... one of the most well-known video game characters.
Yep.
And they put most of their male counterparts to shame.
Oh, yeah. So especially that fight scene in Resident Evil 5 where you have to fight Jill. She whoops your ass if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, Chris doesn't stand much of a chance. And
nope.
Don't get me wrong, Chris is a very well-known character. Try to name another badass character from Resident Evil that's not Claire or Jill. Wesker does not count.
Some could argue Leon.
No.
But I would not count him as much of a badass as... Chris. And if Wesker doesn't count, then no, I can't. Maybe Josh could,
say Leon, because you might as well just make a Tresemme commercial with Leon, and it would be more fitting than Leon in the game.
Yep.
I have huge issues.
Yeah.
But Claire and Jill are the epitome of that game.
Barry Burton. You almost got turned into a Jill sandwich.
The master of unlocking. Yuna.
Yuna. Summoner extraordinaire.
Yes. Yuna, whose life mission is to save the world by basically killing herself. I mean, she knows what it entails.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't turn away.
Nope.
Yes, she has moments of weakness throughout the game. It's Final Fantasy. You have to have that
emotional connection brought forth.
And if it wasn't for Titus, it probably would have gone a lot better.
Yep.
But Titus is also the reason Yuna survives. So, but Yuna is certifiable badass.
Oh yeah.
And definitely belongs in this strong female lead.
Oh yeah.
I mean, you could even throw in Lulu.
Lulu was awesome.
The big thing in regards to Lulu is the representation of her physical appearance. But Lulu was also a badass bitch that didn't take no crap from nobody because of her backstory.
Mm-hmm.
The boss.
The boss.
Okay, so for anybody, I guess we're going to do spoilers. The boss is the boss of Metal Gear Solid 3.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, evil.
It's a gray area with her.
I'm not even saying it's a gray area. It's just they are the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
But she does everything for a reason. She basically, what's the best word? She soils her own name to save the world.
Yep.
Because she does what needs to be done. She destroys her reputation. She destroys everything to make sure that everything is going to be okay.
Yep.
And that falls under a Yuna category. Like, you know what's going to happen, but you're going to do it anyways.
Yeah. What else do we got here?
Religion, another one of the always kind of depicted as bad.
We try to look for religion in video games. Most of the stuff that we came up with, that we could find for religion in video game was depicted as bad. And yeah, the main reason for it is the sex of religion trying to dominate the world was the main thing that I found. Like, they brought up Resident Evil, they brought up Silent Hill, they brought up Assassin's Creed, which Assassin's Creed makes more sense because that's Christianity at its finest.
But Assassin's Creed can actually be considered both good and bad in this aspect.
Both good and bad, because the Apple of Eden, given to the right person, or the pieces of Eden, if you would, can be good. Given to the wrong people, can be bad.
Yeah.
So, there's good depictions and there's bad depictions, but for the most part, I couldn't really find anything extravagant in the religious end.
Yeah, a lot of it, what it comes down to, is they don't want to put real religion in regards to a game.
Yeah.
And when you go into created religion, normally they're pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yet again, Overwatch, Zenyatta, Genji, Pharah, Ana.
Yep.
They are all highly religious people.
Mm-hmm.
You have Waka from Final Fantasy X.
Highly religious person.
Like, super Yevon Bible thumper. Extraordinaire.
Yep.
Great guy.
Great guy.
I hated his voice, but great guy.
He hated his voice.
I know.
I was going to say, what the hell are you talking about? You might as well have been talking to Bender.
It's not that I hated the voice actor.
His voice was a little much.
Yeah. Children of the Atom.
Yep.
Some of them.
We kind of had a discussion about Children of the Atom from Fallout 3. Some were religious in the fact that they wanted Megaton to blow up. Some were religious in the fact that they didn't want Megaton to blow up. Whatever side you chose, you were depicted as either a bad or a good guy. Now, if you disarm the bomb, you would have the Children of Atom worshippers who wanted it to explode hunt you down kind of like mercenaries throughout the game. If you let it explode, pretty much everybody dies there.
But the vast majority of the Children of the Atom, though rather cuckoo pants, keep in mind they're worshipping something that's radioactive. They were
worshipping
generally
a god, not exploding them is what it was.
Children of the Atom, we'll have to elaborate further if we do an actual religion in video games.
Mm-hmm.
Dante's Inferno. I'm sorry, but no arguing religion in regards to that.
Seven Circles of Hell.
Ashley Williams from Mass Effect was a highly religious Christian in space. Come on, people.
How does this make sense?
Yeah, it's God created the earth. Well, there's all this other stuff, too. God created the earth.
God created the earth, though.
God created everything. That was her philosophy in regards to it. Which, that's fine. Her faith was never shaken by everything that was occurring. Because mm-hmm. that would also mean that God created the collectors. God created the reapers. I mean, everything had its purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Assassin's Creed. Yes, there are the Templars. They are always depicted as bad. However, as Ryan stated earlier, those that are trying to gather the pieces of Eden are still highly religious people that are just trying to impart good on the world.
And
even if they are killing people.
Yeah, but I mean, if you even pay attention to the Assassin's Creed games, the roles kind of shift. Because
it doesn't shift in like four?
Four is where it shifts, because your dad is a Templar, but he's an assassin. It's like, how does this work? So the assassins are either getting tired of doing their way of life and then having a different sect of assassins go with the Templars, or Templars becoming assassins.
Well, the thing in regards to that is that actually shows the evolution of religion.
Mm-hmm.
That sects do form everywhere. Mm-hmm. Then you have the king game of religion, Dragon Age. You have Alistair and Cassandra and Liliana. Pretty much everyone.
Yeah, so everybody has their religious place.
And everybody's good or bad. This is probably the most balanced section in regards to religion. However, the main characters are all very highly religious.
Yes.
And they're questioning their faith.
Because of what's happened.
And it's either they're questioning or it's getting stronger based off of everything.
Mm-hmm.
These are very, very good depictions of religious characters. It's not, oh, screw God, all this bad stuff is happening, or all this bad stuff is happening, it's got to be this. Mm-hmm. It's everything's happening for a reason. They hold to their faith, almost unshakable, but understanding that the world itself does not play entirely by their rules.
Nope.
And then you have the other people of the Chantry that are just like, rah! Everything is bad must die.
Yep, we're douchebags.
Anything I don't agree with is bad. Kill them, stupid Templars.
Comes down to it.
Just in general, Templars in video games have a tendency to be bad. Now, mind you, Alistair and Cassandra are both Templars, but they've also kind of had a breaking from the Church.
They've had their own way of light be shown to them.
So they are all very well-registered versions of religious characters. But for the most part, when it comes to religion, this falls under the body type or special needs. Body type,
yeah.
Where they're normally depicted as bad guys.
Yeah.
And it's not just games that do that. It's a lot of things.
It's media in general. Yeah, religion.
I'm not defending video games in regards to it.
Yeah.
It's, for the most part, they try to keep religion out of it. And, like, I'll look at Assassin's Creed, and I'll look at Dragon Age, and the game is about religion.
Mm-hmm.
For the most part. So you have to have that good and the bad.
Yep.
But if you literally just have Muslim terrorists, or psychotic Christians that are going absolutely nuts, Outlast 2, or Resident Evil 7, weren't they highly religious?
I'm not sure.
I can't remember.
I can't remember.
I didn't play it a whole heck of a lot. But they did seem like the religious...
Religious type. Yep.
Or Far Cry 5.
Yeah. That entire thing is going to be about religion.
Yeah. Well, actually, every Far Cry is pretty much about religion.
Yeah.
And...
It's more prominent with how Western religion is related.
Yes.
Because some of them, it was... with Far Cry 3, they had their tribal. Demonic religion or their tribal religion. And then Far Cry 4 was Hinduism, because it was in India.
Yep.
So when they didn't really depict Westernized religion until now, and it's going to give a shine on the world how Western religion operates, not fully to its same extent.
It's not going to be a great representation,
and it's not going to be well. And it's not so much like my faith is not broken by what they're doing. And then you got those people who are carrying torches in down south recently. That's not my way of religion.
Tiki torches.
Yep, tiki torches of all fucking torches. It's not my way of depicting religion, but that's what we have. And so this is going to be a Westernized religious outlook.
Yeah, and if anybody actually looks at this in regards to a display of Western religion, they've never played a Far Cry game before.
Right, because it's not just Western.
Far Cry is to the extreme.
Yes.
I mean, you are looking at extremist groups when it comes to Far Cry.
That's why I said earlier, it's a stone's throw away from the KKK.
Okay. We are going to do the FU Player of the Week, and this week in Final Fantasy, and Future Plans.
Okay.
Let's do them real quick. Future Plans. I have a theory in regards to Mario being a homicidal maniac. Do you have anything?
At this moment, no, but I've been trying to think on something.
Okay. This week in Final Fantasy, nothing. Anything? You really haven't played this week.
I haven't really played.
FU Player of the Week. I don't have anything.
Draco. We wiped 4 times on the Belsar's wall. Not saying anything against you, Draco, because it wasn't your fault. There just wasn't enough DPS output on some of those, and your latency was shit.
Draco, you called yourself a toxic player.
You did. I'm pretty sure I said, hey, you toxic player, and you're like, yeah, yeah. So I'm just giving you shit by the FU Player of the Week.
I was going to say that because he called himself a toxic player, but we'll leave it alone because he's a guild member. He's really not that bad of a guy.
He's not. He's a really good guy. Small berry.
So, yeah, we're not going to do a... We didn't really have much on that one. So, in case anybody was wondering why we didn't have an episode last week, me and Ryan did, in fact, record an episode, and we decided that the thinking on it and then hearing it, it was decided that the explicit tag was not enough for that game. It was bad. Sodomy.
Mm.
It went a little bit far. Like, I literally got a text message from my wife while she was editing it that said, cowboy butt sex? Really? we will at some point air that episode. but for now I decided it was in our best interest
yep.
to not put it out there.
Yes.
It wasn't anything bad on our part. It was just, it was pretty much impossible to do without the explicit tag and going to an extreme with it.
Yeah.
So.
We'll think of something. We'll get it back. But.
Yeah, it's, we might have to re-record. If not, we're running out of space, so I may create a Patreon account for all of our past episodes.
There you go.
Anything about else?
Nope, Josh's still dead. So.
He may be dead officially if he does not freaking respond to anybody soon.
I figured.
Okay.
See you guys.
Later.